Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
It's 12:33 in Edmonton. It's Brendan Escott here with you today. Lots of open talk time here. Right now is the time to get in your thoughts. So we were talking a little bit about whether Andrew Mangiapane was really worth the $5.8 million price tag based on the performance of last year. It's got me wondering, you know, we talk about in the offseason anyway, it's kind of a bad time, in my opinion, to be talking about the worst contracts in the league, but it just bothers the crap out of me to read an article about how Darnell Nurse is one of the worst valued contracts in the entire NHL when, number one, he hasn't even played a year on that deal, and number two, he's a number one defenseman on a team that just went to the Stanley Cup, the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, and it seems to constantly be coming out of one writer that just cannot get past this set of brown colored glasses he's got on for Darnell Nurse. So it blows me away, and it just makes me wonder about the values of other guys around the league. Tyler Seguin's another contract up of $9.5 million, I think he gets paid. So there's a lot of them out there. I wonder what you think about some of the worst contracts in the NHL. 780-496-0063 is the number to call there. Just looking at the Twitter feed here, and it appears we've got another Edmonton Oil King who has signed at least an AHL deal. Congratulations, Simon Kubacek, a 2-year contract with the Manitoba Moose. So he'll jump into the system with Winnipeg there, coming off of a season in which Kubacek, this is a guy you couldn't help but notice on the ice as you were watching Edmonton's run to the Edmonton Cup. Just in the sense that, I mean, he's a mean hockey player in an era of not so mean hockey players, if you want to look at it that way. Is that oversimplified? Perhaps. But 133 regular season penalty minutes, that's intimidating out there. Watching him mix it up in the scrum with Reed Schaefer, that kind of thing was intimidating out there. And Winnipeg, with eyes for it, they lock him in. I'm just trying to load his stats here, and I'm fighting with the internet, as you can hear me stalling on air. Let's see. There is the Czech-born player. He's a 2001 born. 6'2", 200 pounds is what he's listed at. I suggest he plays a little bit bigger than that. But yes, 41 points, 14 goals from the back end last year, and 133 PIMs. He also had 11 more points on those 19 playoff games for the Oil Kings. So rewarded right across the board. Now you're starting to see the depth of this Oil Kings team and really what helped propel them along. You wish that they would have done more, of course, at the Memorial Cup. And you know, if you back that out to a 30,000 foot view, it to travel literally across the country and then play the opening night. And it looked like it in that opening game. But some of the key contributors, including, as you heard yesterday with Cam Moon, Jalen Lipin, who are locked up to these contracts. So not only did Cam talk to Lipin, Cam talked to Colin Fraser, who's one of the members of the scouting department in Chicago. They had this to say.
It was definitely an amazing feeling when I put my signature on that piece of paper.
Ah, man, I'm a big fan, personally. Being based in Sylvan Lake, close to Edmonton, I see Edmonton a lot just by default, being close to the area. And then they've obviously had good teams the last three seasons, really. And you hit it on the head. He's just a guy that does not go away. That's the term I use when I present him at the meetings. Is he's just like an annoying player that doesn't quit. So he's not the biggest guy. He's not the heaviest guy. He has good skill, but not for NHL standards. He's not elite skill. He's just a guy that doesn't quit. And you use the word willed himself. That's exactly what I said. If he never makes the NHL, he's going to die trying to get there. So there's not much more you can ask from, you know, a seventh round pick. Like, you know, it's a shot in the dark, and the characteristic for me was pure determination and character, and he has it, hasn't wavered from it. So it's not like he got drafted and decided he wanted to be a skill guy and try to put up numbers. He's stuck to what he is and what I think he will be in the NHL, and he got rewarded with his NHL contract.
Just to have that feeling and just to be in the now and to have that deal done, it's an amazing feeling, and I'm very, very happy.
I guess so for the seventh rounder, who, by the way, in the Memorial Cup had a point in every single game. The loss to Shawinigan, an assist, a couple of penalty minutes there. The overtime win against St. John, that was kind of Jackson Weeb's coming out party, but he did have an assist there. And then against Hamilton, he had one of the two goals in the game that saw them bow out of the tournament. So Lipan, after 64 points in 66 games, finds himself there. He's a 2002 birth year, so I think that might put him... Does that make him a 20 next year? I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. I'd have to figure that one out. But good for him. Good for Jalen Lipan. And again, good for Simon Kubacek, who becomes the latest to join out of the Oil Kings program. Todd from Trochu has texted 780-496-0063, said, just wanted to send a big thanks and props out to Zach Cassian for all that he's done for the Oilers. Too bad that he has to be the casualty of moving forward. I think a lot of players in that room really liked him. Sad that he's basically not allowed to fight anymore, and we're going to miss his crazy eyes stare. But that's how it goes, onward and upward. And I guess from here on in, all the best to Zach and his new venture. Yeah, hey, Zach Cassian, and to me, when he really wanted to turn it on, this is what we all know about him. There was few players in the league like Zach Cassian, but I think it's especially tough for a player in his role in the modern NHL to get the benefit of the doubt in terms of the call. And how many times did you and I sit there and watch a hard hit by Zach Cassian that ended up being charging or boarding or something like that? And to me, the way that they officiated Zach Cassian, and especially in the final year, it kind of curbed his ability to play the role that they then needed him to play. When they signed him to that contract at more than $3.5 million, or more than $3 million, sorry, per season, they're paying him not only to have that physical edge, but of course to score and contribute in the top six. And then, frankly, the development thing changed, and all of a sudden you had Puljujärvi, who was producing as a right winger in the top six, and Yamamoto when he came up, and he was producing as a right winger. So that knocks Zach down to where they need him to contribute in the physical realm once again in order to really fulfill what that dollar was paying for him. And that physical element is tough to bring when you're being hyper-policed by the NHL referees. And I do think that for as many of the times as we were frustrated by Cassian curling away from a hit at the last minute or what have you, I think that he just had to remain disciplined like that, because otherwise the referees were way too willing, in my opinion, to send him to the sin bin. So things changed. Things changed over the lifetime of that contract. It was something that they needed to offload. I think that getting rid of that, obviously, you've got Evander Kane, who can score 35 goals now this year and fulfill the same intimidation role. That's a much more productive contract, as we know. But hey, I mean, Ken Holland, for the heat that he took, he did manage to unload that contract. And for whatever's left of Zach's career, whether it be in Arizona moving forward or anywhere else, you know, we of course wish him the best. Rob in Edmonton says, people are very accomplished complainers these days. Use that same level of commitment in backing your team this season instead. I think that was with specific reference to people complaining about Darnell Nurse's contract. Colton on that subject says it was an overpayment, but time will tell. Oh, and that was a lot of money for Oliver Shillington to pay a D-man to be to be Connor's pylon. Colton, I love it. So, okay. Mangiapane was an overpayment, but time will tell. I see what you're saying, Colton. And for Shillington, that is a lot of money to pay a pylon. Shillington skates pretty darn well. They do. I don't know. I just don't know. When you see Connor McDavid training in the offseason, I'm not sure there's a D-man in the league who wouldn't look like a pylon next to him. Maybe not named Cale Makar, of course. Who, by the way, is on a golf course in Calgary somewhere. I was trying to organize an interview, and I had to take the back seat to Cale. So it is what it is. He's a Stanley Cup champion. Luke says, Darnell Nurse, not a $9 million defenseman and never will be. JJ says, I like Nurse a lot, but you absolutely have your Oilers glasses on if you think he will live up to that contract. He won't, and it's very likely that all of those D-men who signed at that time last year won't. It was a snowball that got out of control. That, JJ, is exactly right. And sometimes you need to pay market value to keep your guy. Edmonton's not the only team that's had to float maybe a million or two extra dollars. There's something to be said about keeping your core together too, right? Like if he plays at a $7.5 million value and he's part of this leadership team and has been a lifelong Oiler, to me that's worth an extra $1.5 million. It is. Darnell Nurse means more to the Oilers than what you pay him to do on the ice. $9 million is a lot of money, I get it, but as JJ has pointed out, there is a lot of defensemen around the NHL making $9 million. And if you let Nurse walk, because he's not playing for less than that, I promise you, even Wayne Gretzky said, I need to, you know, make the money that I feel like I'm worth. And that's how he ended up in Los Angeles, or at least in part. But Darnell Nurse is also entitled to get paid, and it's not his fault the market was set where it was. So Ryan, who goes by Buckshot in Calgary, says, Nurse, LOL, giveaway king in the playoffs. Giveaway, he was hurt in the playoffs. He's had a couple of giveaways. Boy, we've known him to have giveaways, but he was hurt. He was really hurt in the playoffs. Not an excuse. You just, you can't possibly sit there and try and tell me and convince me that Darnell Nurse's value, or Darnell Nurse is the player that we saw in the final three games of the regular season as he's playing with a torn hip flexor, and then say that he's not going to be worth $9 million. So, all right, another texter says, number one, he's not even the number one Oilers defenseman on any team. Not the number one defenseman on any team beside the Oilers. Number two, nowhere worth the value he's going to be paid. Stop telling other people to take off their glasses when I need to take off my glasses because I'm paid by the Oilers. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I have a completely objective opinion on that. I am not paid by the hockey team. Luke says, we've hit the nail on the head here. He should be getting paid what he's worth. Might not mean everything in terms of the production you're getting on the ice, but you have to keep guys in town. And if Edmonton's not paying Nurse $9.5 million, someone else will. Maybe we'll keep this conversation going. 780-496-0063. We're talking, we've kind of morphed this into quote-unquote bad contracts around the league. Is Darnell Nurse worth his? What about Andrew Mangiapane? What about Jesper Bratt? Maybe you care less about him because he plays for New Jersey, but a sixth-round pick coming off of a pretty good year that makes two-thirds of what Nurse does. All that coming up. It's Brendan Escott with you today on Oilers Now. 12:49 in Edmonton. I'll remind you, some guests of Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I guess while we're talking about contracts, I mean, yes, Puljujärvi signing a one-year, $3 million deal. Likely that you let us know how you felt about that when the deal was signed, but I'm curious what you think of that as well. I haven't been here. We haven't had that conversation. So a year at $3 million for Puljujärvi, it avoided arbitration. Always a good thing to avoid arbitration, unless you're in favor of sitting in a room with your boss and basically going back and forth about why you're not worth the amount of money that you think you are. But I don't think that that's really what anybody wants to do. And that would be the reason why Yakov Trenin of Nashville would theoretically be or is going to be the first player in two full seasons to have his salary decided by an arbitrator. This was a contract that was signed to be traded, I would suggest. 1 year really suggests that. $3 million. I'm sure he could have gotten more somewhere else on the market, but let's see what Puljujärvi can do. Let's see what spot he can earn out of training camp, and let's see where the value ends up if they don't end up moving him before then. We'll have a conversation with David Staples after the 1 o'clock news about that. But as far as Oilers contracts go, that one definitely has to be of interest. Boomer has said, with respect to Darnell Nurse, if he was the leader you say he is, he would have left some money on the table the same way McDavid and Draisaitl did. No interest in an 8-year deal until the number grew. And if you're more interested in money than competing for a cup, you're the wrong player for my team. Fair enough, Boomer. That's a fair stance to take. Another texter says, I'm a huge Nurse fan. Oilers fans are ridiculous toward their own defensemen and goalies. Nurse gets a ton of points while not playing on the power play. Well, maybe not so much in this recent year, but the year before, absolutely. And this texter says, I watched him skate back and stop way more plays than he gets credit for. Stop being so stupidly hard on our defensive players and our goaltenders. Otherwise, the whole team might leave. This was one reason the Oilers had a tougher time getting guys. Defensemen make mistakes, even the best. Do you want no defensemen like before? Not likely. IMAC says Nurse didn't have to take the max. Other players have taken less. The excuse that the PA had a say is BS. I refuse to believe that nobody in his camp told him, bud, you're not a 9-sheet player. You're going to have an entire fan base hating on you if you make more than 29, which is Draisaitl, regardless of when the contracts were signed. You can't get everybody on the kind of sweetheart deal that Leon Draisaitl was signed to, though. And again, it's not Nurse's fault that he signed his deal 4 years after Draisaitl signed his, and this is what the market ended up being. You can't fault a guy for taking market value after the season that he had, where, you know what, like it really looked like he had taken a monumental step forward, and I believe that there is more to get out of this player. You don't think people are sitting there in Toronto and squawking about Morgan Rielly every other season? Of course they are, but that doesn't mean that he's not a number one defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs, likely to make Team Canada the next best on best. Like, you had better have somebody. Who is the Oilers' top defenseman? Are you going to be happy with Evan Bouchard playing 25 minutes a game? I don't think so. Now, here's the good news, is that Nurse, with the addition or re-addition or I guess just re-signing of Brett Kulak on the left side and the emergence of Philip Broberg, now you don't have to have Nurse out there 26 minutes a night competing with Thomas Chabot for the time on ice title. You don't, because you've got better, more reliable options out there. And then he actually could, you know, maybe produce to the caliber of that $9 million a year guy. I don't think he's any worse than, say, Charlie McAvoy. I sure don't think that. Or Zach Werenski, is that who you'd rather have? I don't want Zach Werenski in a playoff run over Darnell Nurse. I want my guy out there clearing the front of the net, blocking shots. That's what I'd like. Maybe I've watched too much Western Conference hockey. Maybe you disagree. 780-496-0063. What player on the Oilers team do you not feel we should overpay? You seriously think the Puljujärvi contract is good? Yes, I actually do, Texter, because it's very tradable. Stop smoking crack. I'm sorry, you may not get paid by the Oilers. You definitely can't backtalk them with the show that's paid for by the Oilers. Okay, well, you feel that way. Wonderful. Draisaitl signed slightly above value at the time. The contract became good. It was an overpay based on what he did and the comparables at the time. Probably a lot easier to say that a forward has exceeded his $8 million a year price tag when he's led the league in scoring since, put up 50 goals. I think that they really, not lucked out, but they had it figured out. if you want to keep Leon and McDavid happy, you got to keep their bodies around. And we all, their bodies are buddies, I think is actually what that guy's trying to say. And we all know how close they are to Nurse. You don't want to turn into a Vegas organization where no one feels loyalty. And I agree with that too. Like, it's a hockey team. It's not a collection of hockey players. It's a hockey team. And these guys have all been on the same hockey team for well over half a decade now. And they're pulling on the same rope. They're pulling in the same rope. So who I'm just wondering which of the available players you thought was going to pull the share of Darnell Nurse for the next 5 years as this team's Stanley Cup window is finally open. Should they have let him walk? I'm not 100%. I'm not 100% on that one. Lots of flack coming this way. Colin says Nurse is a good defenseman, but not the elite defenseman that he will be paid. You cannot be a number one D-man when you're no better than the third power play option on your team. 88 NHL D-men, says Colin, had more power play time on ice than Nurse did. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Will we see different looks on power play two? I mean, if we don't see Evan Bouchard manning power play one at this point, I'm not the coach, but I think that it's about time that we see what the Bouch bomb can do when given the whole key to the kingdom. And then you've got different looks between Barry and Nurse on that second unit. How much time is that second unit going to get? I guess that remains to be seen. Remember how much of Nurse's scoring production came 5-on-5? That's not a bad thing. I don't know why you'd try and sit there in your armchair and try and convince anybody that that's a bad thing, that your defenseman's scoring 5-on-5. I don't know. We'll see what David Staples thinks, because he's got opinions on Bouchard and Barry and Nurse and what other people think of this Nurse contract. He's written all about it in The Cult of Hockey. We'll step out here for a global news weather traffic update with Evan Cook. And when we come back, lots more of you, lots more. It's contract talk, I guess we turned it into. It's Brendan Escott here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.